I love Thanksgiving. And I've loved it since I was a kid. It was the holiday that we had at our house, my mom and dad's house. We would go other places for other holidays, but Thanksgiving was the one where all my aunts and uncles and my cousins. See, when you're an only child, you look forward to people coming over. Amen. Everybody would come. And we never had enough room, did we, Mom? Amen. It was up. That's right. Well, right in the dining room and set up folding chairs. And I think I was 28 and I was still at the kids' table just because that's where room was. Amen. But I love and appreciate Thanksgiving so much more since I met Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift that He gave to us." The Bible has a lot to say about giving thanks. Just in the book of Psalms alone, "Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises to Thy name." Psalms 18:49. "That I may publish the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all Thy wondrous works." 26:7. "Sing unto the Lord, all ye His saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Psalm 34. "To the end that I may glory and I may sing praise unto Thee, and be not silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto Thee forever." Psalm 30, verse 12. "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Psalm 50, verse 4. "I will praise the name of God with song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Psalm 69, 30. "Unto Thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto Thee do we give thanks, for that Thy name is near, Thy wondrous works declare." Psalm 75, 1. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." Psalm 92, verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." 97:12. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Psalm 100, verse 4. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." Psalm 105, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Save us, O Lord, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto Thy holy name." Psalm 106, 1 and 47. "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." Boy, I think about that verse. It's not always easy to give thanks. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to say, "Thank you, Lord." But boy, that's a Psalm 107, verse 22. Psalm 116, 17, "I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." Psalm 118, 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." Verse 29 of that same chapter, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgment." Psalm 119, 62. "Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord." Psalm 122, verse 4. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3, similar verses. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. For oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto Thy name." Psalm 140, verse 13. "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp of our God." Psalm 147, verse 7. The Christian life is intended to be a life filled with gratitude. Amen, church? First Chronicles chapter 16 is one of the greatest passages of praise and thanksgiving in the Word of God. Probably along with Psalm 100. Psalm 100 much shorter. But this passage here, it's just filled with praise. And why did God command such praise? Well, I'll tell you why. The Ark of the Covenant. That's not Noah's Ark, by the way. Amen? The Ark of the Covenant had come back. And if you know your Bible, you know that the Ark was constructed by divine command. God commanded in Exodus 25 exactly how He wanted the Ark to be built. And it was to have the two cherubs hovering over the mercy seat. Amen. And it was to be overlaid with pure gold. And then in Exodus chapter 37, they actually completed it just as God had said. They constructed it. And you remember, those of you that know your Bibles know that the Ark contained the Ten Commandments, amen, that second copy, if we could, after Moses destroyed the first. And it contained Aaron's rod that budded. And it contained that pot of manna. What did it convey? It was not only constructed and contained, but it was to be carried a certain way. You remember. It was to be carried by the Levites according to Exodus 37:5 and Numbers chapter 4 and Deuteronomy 10. It was to have staves that went through it. Just imagine that this box represented the ark, this communion table. They had little fillets and the staves would go through and they would bear it up on their shoulders. And that's the way God said He wanted it done. He said He wanted it carried that way. It was to be carried a certain way. It was constructed. It was contained. By the way, it conveyed the very throne of God. It's a picture of heaven. Remember when in Isaiah chapter 14, when we read of the fall of Lucifer? And in Ezekiel chapter 28, we read a similar account. And it talks about Satan. It talks about Lucifer. And it calls him, O covering cherub. See, there were two angels that hovered over the throne of God. And Brother Deke, Lucifer was one of them. It pictures, the Ark of the Covenant pictured the very throne of God. The mercy seat was there. The offering, the blood. It was captured by the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And then I love 1 Samuel chapter 5. If you don't think God has a sense of humor, you need to read 1 Samuel chapter 5. They got that old idol in there, Dagon. And the ark is in there. And the next day they come and Dagon's broken. And nobody was in there. And the next day a different part of Dagon was broken. And a different part of Dagon was broken. And then the Philistines really regretted that they kept the ark. And those of you that know your Bibles could say, Amen. As they were smitten with a horrible disease. But it was captured. It caused the fall of Dagon. But then you remember the Philistines said, we got to get rid of this thing. And they put it on a new cart. They put it on a new cart and they began to roll it back towards Israel. And along came one of God's people, Uzzah. And Uzzah thought he was going to do God a favor because the cart wobbled. By the way, listen, ladies and gentlemen, should have never been on a cart.
No.
As soon as it was on the cart, the Levites should have got the staves and took it off and carried it like God said. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God's work needs to be done God's way. God, there's a reason why we don't have a rock band on this platform. Because God's work needs to be done God's way in the holiness and righteousness of Almighty God.
Amen.
No substitute for that. Hey, what did they have? Oh, we'll put... What? This is a much better idea, Brother Horst. We'll put it on a cart. That's not the way God said to do it. Remember old Nadab and Abihu? Yeah, they offered fire, but it wasn't the fire that God said. And God said,
die.
Goodbye. Even Ananias and Sapphira, we were just looking at them in Sunday school. You know, there's times, ladies and gentlemen, thank God it's not often. There's times where God says enough.
Amen.
I want something done. And listen, the ark represented the very presence of God. It wasn't to be messed with, trifled with, or diminished. By the way, that's what's going on in modern Christianity. The holiness of God being diminished. God's works to be done God's way. And so this cart was this worldly idea that was brought in. And thank God in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we found somebody had some sense and they carefully began to properly transport the ark as God had said. And they bring it back here. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 is the psalm of when they brought the ark back. And it was commencing with praise, amen, and commencing with thanksgiving that the ark was brought back. Look at it, just a couple verses in our text. Look at verse 4. It says, "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." Further down, verse 7. "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to," what? "Thank the Lord." Jump over to verse 34. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say, save us, O God, our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name." Verse 41, at the back half of the verse, talks about there with He-Man and Jeduthun, the rest were chosen who were expressed by name to give. I want you to zero in on verse 8. Verse 8 is our text. It says, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." You know, there's a sister verse to that in the Psalms. I believe it's Psalm 66:16. It goes like this. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." I have a very personal testimonial message for you today. But I hope that you will be able to put yourself right in each point. And it's not 2 points, Brother Hendershot. It's 10. Amen. And that, listen, I know what time it is. Don't get pews. 10 points. Oh my goodness, this can go forever. Amen. Not forever, just a couple seconds shy of that. Amen. Number one, the title of the message is simply, "Thank You, Lord." Thank you, Lord. Number one, thank you, Lord, for my parents. Thank you, Lord, for my parents. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth." I am an adopted only child. And so, hey, boys, right here, right here. We're in church now. Amen? Amen. I am an adopted only child. That means that in addition to God's sovereign choice of me being born, I've experienced God's sovereignty at least twice. Because it was God, first of all, it was God that burdened a little 19-year-old girl who had a one-night stand not to have an abortion. When the world told her, "You probably should." But, you know, by the way, there's only 2 letters difference between adoption and abortion, but there's a world of difference between those 2 words. And then there was a little couple that couldn't have any children, a young couple, amen, and God allowed me to be adopted by Rich and Marie Zavodsky and to live in their home and to be blessed by them. You know what I want to say this morning? Thank you, Lord, for my parents. Thank you, Lord. Well, I hope you could look back at your life. And listen, if you say, "Well, my parents weren't perfect," well, join the club with the rest of us. Amen? Because none of us are perfect either. I'm not a perfect parent. I want to be a good parent. Amen? But I thank God for my parents. Thank you, Lord, for my parents. Thank you for where I grew up in the home and the stability that my mom and dad gave and all their love for me and all their goodness and all their provision and all their support through the years. Thank you, Lord, for my parents. By the way, you choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. You know what? That's an absolute choice of God. It's an absolute choice of God. Thank you, Lord, for my parents. Secondly, see, we're flying. We're already 1 point down. We're 10% of the message is gone right now. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for special people in my life. Thank you, Lord, for special people in my life. Did you know that God loves people? Boy, to hear some preachers think you'd say, gee, I'm not sure, amen? No, God still loves people. God so loved the world. And He wasn't talking about the rocks and the trees and the grass and the dirt. Unless you're talking about the souped up dirt, because that's what we are, people, amen? He loves people. God loves people. And one of the greatest gifts of God is to be loved and to love other people. It's a gift. Every time we lose somebody, and I pray, I say, Lord, thank you for the gift of life. Amen. And love and getting to know and love this person. Yeah. Lost Mrs. T this week. Man, just she loved people. And we loved her. Amen. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. I thank God for special people in my life. I want to talk about a lot of them today. You folks won't know them. I thank God for my aunts and uncles. Just precious. My mom had two brothers and my dad had one sister. And we all lived within 10 minutes of each other. And so just growing up there, my aunts and uncles to this day, my sweet aunt, she's my dad's sister, my aunt Sophie is her name, Zosia in Polish. We have so much fun together. Oh my goodness, we just absolutely tear each other to shreds in a funny way. She still calls me Ricky. Do I look like a Ricky to you? I did when I had buck teeth and was, you know, this tall and 100 pounds or whatever. Amen. I call her my antisocial. Amen. Her name's Aunt Sophie. I call her my antisocial. I thank God for precious people like that. That just love you. You don't do anything to earn their love. They just love you. By the way, they love you because of somebody else. Remember when David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him for Jonathan's sake? The reason my aunt loved me is because I was her brother's son. Amen? I thank God for special people. You know, you think back to teachers in your life and coaches that God... and just precious people that leave an imprint in your life along the way. I thank God. Thank you, Lord, for my parents. Thank you, Lord, for special people. Thirdly, thank you, Lord, for your protection. I got saved when I was 23 years old. And if I had died at 21, Brother Lowell, I'd have gone right to hell. No, you wouldn't. Yes, I would have. Yes, I would have. And so would you if you're not saved. I thank God for His protection. I thank God for His protection. There was a time where literally I almost took my own life. By the way, you pray for teenagers. Leading cause of death amongst teenagers is suicide. They're always thinking about it. The devil never lets up. I thank God that He protected me. In all those years, He preserved my life until I could come and hear the gospel. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about how that God protects His people. I wasn't even one of His people yet, and He was already protecting me. I thank God for His protection. Number four, thank You, Lord, for preaching, preachers, and the people of God. Thank You, Lord, for preaching, preachers, and the people of God. I thank God, I've mentioned Him several times in the last couple of weeks, I thank God for Bob Barnes, who was a co-worker. And he was a co-worker that carried gospel tracts. And we had to take a trip one day, and him and I alone in a van, and he pulled out two gospel tracts, and he gave them to me. When my hair was longer than Mrs. Cook's, he gave them to me. I thank God for that man. I thank God that 3 months later, there was a little church of people on the side of a hill named Mountain View Baptist Church that had gotten its name when it was down in the gutter flats of Holyoke, Massachusetts. And there it was, Brother Beatles, on the side of a mountain now. Go figure that, huh? I thank God that every week that little group met together in that building now that was only a couple of years old. And I thank God that every week there was a preacher who stood up and proclaimed that Jesus still saves. I thank God when I walked in there, they didn't do this. By the way, they sure could have. God help us. Not a museum, a hospital. The church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And I tell you what, I was just a sin-sick soul. And I walked in there that first Sunday and I heard that man say things about me that no one should know. I was convinced that my girlfriend had told that man everything I had ever done, ever thought about doing, and ever was going to do. Yep. He preached the Word of God without apology. Amen. And forgive me, but even raised his voice a little. You heard him. He's a maniac, amen? He's a spiritual maniac, Pastor Eric Tharp. And the next week I came back. And the same thing. Different message, same story. Bowed my head. Asked Jesus Christ to save me. Amen. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I thank God for preaching, for preachers, and for the people of God. You know, that service wouldn't have been possible without the friendly people of God. Not everybody's a preacher. 50% of you aren't preachers for sure. Ladies, sorry. I didn't write it, I just recite it. Amen. But boy, each one of us could have a part. You know, every time somebody gets saved here, I wonder who was friendly to them in the foyer. Because somebody probably was. I wonder if somebody said, come sit with me. Made them feel welcome. I thank God for preaching, for preachers, and for the people of God. Number five, thank You, Lord, for Your plan. Thank You for Your plan. You know, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, that Jesus was slain by the predeterminate counsel of God. Revelation 13:8, at the back half of the verse, it's talking there in that terrible chapter about the satanic trinity, but the back half of the verse it says that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God already had a plan. You know, I think about it just in my life, Brother Ken. Thank You, Lord, for Your plan in my life. You know, Saul was on the Damascus Road. Remember? Saul had his own plans. But God had a plan. To reach him. To save him. Well, think about that in your own life. God's plan for you to serve Him. God's plan to meet your spouse. Heard some amazing testimonies. Well, thank you, Lord, for your plan. It's a testimony message. Thank you for your plan, Lord, in my life. Thank you for your plan for this sinner to hear the gospel. You know, it's amazing. It's like a crochet, our life. It's like a spiritual crochet. And sometimes we wish that we didn't have to go through one thing, but if you pull one thread, it messes up the rest of it, doesn't it? And God's the one who crocheted. He has that master plan for... Aren't you glad, by the way? Amen. I'm glad He is, because He's in control. He's the one that's in control. Thank you, Lord, for my parents. Thank you, Lord, for special people. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for preaching preachers and the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for your plan. Thank you, Lord, for a precious wife. I was not saved when I met my Blondie, as I call her. You say, why do you call her Blondie? Well, when her hair gets a shade lighter, I'll call her Whitey. Amen. But now I call her Blondie. Called her Blondie for years. Blondie has been with me every step of my spiritual journey. She was the one that prayed that I would get saved.
Amen.
She was the one. She was the one as a little girl, as a little 8-year-old girl who didn't have a home church to go to after camp. She was the one who prayed, Lord, I would love to be in the ministry someday. No home church. No encouragement in spiritual things other than Christian camp every summer. A prudent wife is of the Lord.
Amen.
I know some will say, well, where is she? She's downstairs doing Mighty Church right now. And in Sunday school, she teaches Sunday school. And in VBS, don't even try to find her. I thank God for my wife.
Amen.
She's a precious wife. I'm sure they're out there. I don't know a better Christian. I don't know one. I'm not one. So sorry. Maybe you should pay her. Amen. Instead of me. I thank God for a precious wife. I would not be able to make 11-15 hospital calls without a precious wife. I would not be able to come here and study for hours without a precious wife at home instructing my children. I thank God for a precious wife. By the way, guys, that's a good spot for an amen for you right there. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your wives. Thank God for my Blondie. Thank you, Lord, for your patience. Not just for salvation. One of the greatest attributes of God is His long suffering. He's long suffering. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't become super Christian. Matter of fact, I was super carnal when I got saved. And I had a lot of... God had to take off a lot of rough edges. By the way, still does.
Amen.
If you think, well, I haven't sinned in years, well, you just broke your streak, amen? Because pride inspired that lie, amen? I thank God for His patience. He's patient with us. Oh, He chastens us. Amen. Boy, I thank Him for His patience with me. If I was Him, Brother Ewald, that'd have squashed me a long time ago. But He's patient. We're talking about that on Wednesday nights. Patiently enduring. Not an easy thing. God's the example. Thank God for His patience. Romans chapter 9, verse 23 says that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of His mercy. What? Through much long suffering. Thank You for Your patience. Especially in those early days. My heavens, I was such a mess. Had so much cleaning up to do. I've joked so many times. We used to have barrel burnings at our church and I needed my own barrel. We used to bring stuff and, you know, one person would just put like one thing in the barrel and another put another thing in the barrel. I look like Santa Claus. I'm like, you know, sticking it on top of the barrel. And we need more lighter fluid. Amen. Thank You for Your patience, Lord. Even now. Even now, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to thank God for His patience with us. His long suffering. Number 8. I'm right on time, by the way. Actually, a little early. Yeah, I got a lot of amens on that one. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Your provision. Thank You for Your provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Were there times when we didn't know where it was going to come from? But come it did. Amen. Think about how God provides for you. Food, plenty of that. Amen. Finances, job, business. He provides so much. I think of you sweet widows and single folks. You know what? You get toward the end of life and you wonder, is God going to provide? I'll tell you, He is. Let me just clear it up. He is. He will provide. I thank God for His provision. I always think of that on those cold days, Brother Hendershot. And I want to train my family. I want to train my kids. Be thankful. Boys, aren't you glad for this warm home that our church provides for us? I don't want to be ingrates. If there's anything a preacher's kid ought to be, it's grateful. I want to be grateful. Thank You, Lord, for Your provision. Thank You. You provide so much. Of course, we could spend all day talking about how He provided us the Word of God. He provided us salvation. He provided us a church house. Amen. His provision in our lives. Number 9. Thank You, Lord, for a posterity. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127:3. My wife and I were married for almost 12 years. Didn't have any children. Just busy in the Lord's work. And then Eric came along. What a joy it was to have our first baby. Well, I'll tell you what, best baby shower you ever had is after 12 years without having. Good gracious, people almost pulled up with a semi. I've been waiting to give you this stuff for years. Amen. And then 18 months later, after we candidated here in September of 2009, my wife was... Lukey came along. Tougher road. Lukey had the cord wrapped around his neck. The most scared I've ever been in my life was when they said Luke's heart rate was dropping to 70. But he came along and he's still here. Amen. Sometimes we thought about sending him on, but he's still here. Amen. And then last year, God gave us our precious little baby girl. Someone had said, "You have names picked out?" We said, "Not if it's a boy, but we've had girl names picked out for 17 years. Amen. And God gave us little Katia Rose. Hey, are you thankful for your children? Amen. I watched yesterday as I was in the hospital with Miss June North. I saw our beloved brother Brian Jordan up there with his mama. Amen. Just ministering to her. Thank God for posterity. Psalm 78, by the way, it tells us what we ought to do with our posterity. We ought to teach them the Word of God, that they would rejoice. Well, I hope that my kids will be servants of the Lord. Whether God calls them to be preachers, I don't care one bit. Because if God wants them to be a mechanic, it'd be a step down to be a preacher. Amen. The will of God's perfect. Lastly today, thank you, Lord, for my parents. Thank you for special people. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for preaching preachers and the people of God. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for a precious wife. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your posterity. Thank you for your purpose in my life. Everybody can't claim this verse, but I've claimed it for a long time. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy." I got saved when I was 23 years old. And I got saved out of a life of wickedness. And by the way, I'm not proud of that. Here some people give their testimonies and you need a shower after you're done. I don't want to give the devil glory. I think it's proper in certain crowds to let folks know. I think it helps, and I want to be Spirit-led in that. But Brother Leonard and I were talking the other day. How I thank God. He absolutely interrupted my life.
Amen.
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 He absolutely interrupted my life.
Straighten it out.
I didn't go to Bible college at 17, which is fine, or 18. God bless young people that go at that age. But I went at 25. Because God interrupted my life. He filled my life with purpose.
Amen.
To serve Him, to bring Him glory, to edify the saints, to evangelize the lost. And one day, God's going to reward us for all of it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we